Yeah. Ladies and gentlemen, we will get started with docket public hearing EL08001. I believe everyone, both of you, signed up as you came in. We appreciate that. If you choose to testify, we'll ask that you state your name. We have a court reporter, Pat Beck, who is here this afternoon, and we'll appreciate you speaking up so that we can get it recorded. I have a couple of things I need to read before we get started, and then we can start with the presentation from Excel. We will now begin the public input hearing for docket number HP08-001, entitled, oh, you typed HP, it's supposed to be EL. Thank you very much. Yes.
Sorry.
We're thinking of one we have tomorrow. EL08-001, entitled In the Matter of the Application to Construct 6.5 Miles of 115 kV Transmission Line and Associated Modifications to the Brookings Substation. The date is March 10, 2008. The time is approximately 12:15. And the place of this hearing is the McKnight Community Center in White, South Dakota. The hearing concerns an application for a permit to construct a transmission line from the Minnesota border to the Brookings County substation located approximately 7 miles southeast of White and to make some upgrades to the Brookings substation. My name is Gary Hansen. I'm the chairman of the South Dakota Public Utilities Commission. With me today is Vice Chairman and Commissioner Steve Kolbeck and Commissioner Dusty Johnson. The purpose of this hearing is to provide information to the public about the applicant's proposed project and to hear public comments regarding the proposed project. Interested persons have the right to present their views and comments regarding the application, and we want to encourage you to do so. A copy of the application is on file with the Brookings County Auditor. The public may also access the application and all other non-confidential documents in the file on the Commission's website at www.puc.sd.gov under, quote, Commission Actions, and then Commission Dockets, then Electric Dockets, and then 2008 Electric Dockets, and then EL08-001. The parties to this proceeding at this time are the applicant and the Commission acting through its staff. Under South Dakota law, each municipality, county, and governmental agency in the area where the facility is proposed to be constructed or any interested person or entity may be granted party status in this proceeding by making written application to the Commission on or before March 31st, 2008. We have applications available here this afternoon if you would like to apply for party status. I want to emphasize, however, that you do not need to have party status to present your views to us here today or to send us your comments in writing. You only need to become a party if you intend to participate in the process formally and take the matter to a formal evidentiary hearing and possibly then appeal to the courts. For its permit to be approved, the applicant must show that the proposed transmission line will comply with all applicable laws and rules, that the transmission line will not pose a threat of serious injury to the environment or to the social and economic condition of inhabitants or expected inhabitants in the siting area, that the transmission line will not substantially impair the health, safety, or welfare of the inhabitants, and that the transmission line will not unduly interfere with the orderly development of the region, with due consideration having been given to the views of governing bodies of affected local units of government. Based on these factors, the Commission will decide whether the permit of the project should be granted, denied, or granted upon such terms, conditions, or modifications of the construction, operation, or maintenance of the facilities as the Commission finds appropriate. We will begin the hearing by having the applicant make a brief presentation to explain the proposed project. Following Excel's presentation, we will take comments from any interested persons, and we want to encourage landowners and others here today to present your views. Also, you may submit your comments in writing to the Commission. And again, everyone, I want to ask each of you to sign the sign-in sheet so we have a record of who attended the hearing. Mr. Tom Hillstrom of XL's project manager is here today, and we will begin with Mr. Hillstrom by having you introduce the other persons from XL Energy and then make your presentation. Thank you.
Thank you, Commissioner Hansen. I'm Tom Hillstrom with XL Energy. I'm a permitting analyst. Jim Wilcox, also with XL Energy, is here with me, but I will be the only one speaking up here today. To introduce the project, it's one of three 115 kilovolt power lines that are packaged up in a larger project that we call BRIGO, and that stands for Buffalo Ridge Incremental Generation Outlet. This particular line goes between the Yankee substation in Minnesota and the Brookings County substation in South Dakota. It's the second 115 line between those two substations. The first one was just finished. The construction was just finished on it last summer. This proposed line is almost identical to that first one. Same structure type, same conductors. It's virtually a carbon copy of the first one, and we'll talk more about the purpose of the line in a minute. The one difference that we propose is the difference in the color of the structures. The first line was galvanized steel, and we propose to use weathering, Core 10, the rusty steel for the second one, and that's it's because of the galvanized steel. The price of that has gone up quite a lot lately, and we really have not seen a strong preference between the galvanized versus the Core 10. So, you know, absent a preference, we propose to go with the cheaper steel. Both of them perform identically. So it's a 13-mile line, 6.5 miles in Minnesota and 6.5 miles in South Dakota. The purpose of the line is for wind outlet. The system right now is set up to handle approximately 825 megawatts of wind power to get that power from this area out into the larger transmission system. The combined effect of the three BRIGO lines will raise that 825 megawatts up to in the neighborhood of 1,200 megawatts. When I first started working on this project, it seemed odd to me to have to build another identical line between the two substations, and I think I've got it a short explanation of why we need to do that in my head now. So I'll try to explain that. The outlet capacity right now is constrained by reliability and capacity. We can't operate the system for more than 825 megawatts without a reliability concern, and basically that means that if the line failed while we were, the line between Yankee and Brookings County failed while we were operating the system at something over 825 megawatts, that failure would have implications on a regional scale. It has effects that impact the larger system and pretty major effects. So having that redundancy is necessary to operate the wind generation at anything higher than 825 megawatts. When we started routing this line, we began with some field drives and some aerial photos, and we also had two public meetings. The first one was last summer, and the second one was at the Wind Center just south of Hendricks in Minnesota. The second meeting was in just December of 07 in Elkton, South Dakota, just south of here. Our criteria that we used to route this line was we listened to the people at those public meetings. We wanted to parallel roads where possible, and we wanted to avoid homes. And the parallel roads idea was that we didn't want to impact people's use of their land. And if we start putting poles out in the middle of fields, that impacts people's use of their land through agriculture and it impacts their potential for future wind development. This is a, I'm sure you all know that this is an area where wind development is happening now, and we don't want to intrude on the land and hinder any land use. So we paralleled roads, and we wanted to stay away from that existing line for the reliability concerns. If the existing line goes down, we don't want it. We don't want two lines to be taken down if the tornado hit or something like that. So we stay away from the existing line, parallel roads, and avoid homes. And along with avoiding homes comes avoiding trees that are often associated with the homes as windrows. So we feel like we've got a real good route here. In the whole 13 miles, we go by four homes, and one of those four homes is in South Dakota. And I can just show you my map here. The one home that we do go by is in Section 4, Township 110 North, Range 47 West, Section 4, and that is on the west section line. The rest of the route is characterized by a lot of agricultural land use. We do parallel 1 mile of an existing PPM feeder line, and that is on the north section line of Section 9, Township 110, Range 47. There are a couple of other notable things on the route. One is an airfield that is just west of the route, and I'll describe where that is. The airfield goes along the south section line of Section 5 in that same township and range. And the airfield is configured in an east-west direction, and it ends about a quarter of a mile west of the proposed route. So in effect, if the gentleman that owns that airfield, if he were taking off to the east, it would be within a quarter of a mile of the proposed line. And I will note that there are some PPM feeder lines that were built in that same location that our route is proposed. So there are some conflicts there already. Mr. Lynn, who was here this morning and had to leave, is very amenable to working through that issue, and he indicated that he could regrade that airstrip in a north-south configuration on the west section line of Section 5, and he mentioned that his estimated cost was in the neighborhood of $2,000 to move that airstrip. So that's an issue that we feel is easy to work through. The other issue is there are some plans of PPM to, at least the last time we spoke with PPM, they had a plan to build another feeder line on the east section line of Section 5, and that area is the area where there is that one home that we do plan on going by. And if PPM decides to build their feeder line in that location on the west side of the road there, we would also like to be on the west side of the road to avoid impacts to that home. So we do have a few options that we could work through there, and our starting point is to go on the, if indeed they do build their line on the west side of that road, that we would kind of bump our line out to the west and build that line approximately 30 feet into the field on the west side of that road. There are other options that we could pursue, such as double circuiting or working with them to underground their line. And then on the last 2 miles coming into the Brookings County substation from the east, we propose to double circuit with an existing East River Electric 115 line. That line is currently located on the south side of 270th Street. And that line is in the road right away. We propose to double circuit with that line and build new structures on a private right-of-way, again, on the south side of that road. And then from there, it's just a half mile north into the Brookings County substation. I don't have much more than that. I think I could stop here and take questions.
Thank you, Mr. Elstrom. Any commissioners have any questions at this point? Is there anyone in the audience who has any questions of Mr. Hillstrom? Mr. Hillstrom, you said that you, it sounds like you're working with the gentleman who has the airstrip that needs to be moved. Are you helping to facilitate that from a standpoint of the cost that they will incur?
I believe that would probably be the case. I can't answer exactly how we're going to work that out right now. Being that it is just a matter of $2,000, I can't see that that would be an issue that would be hard to work through. But I'm not quite, we haven't convinced ourselves that our line would indeed be the sole reason that he would have to move his airstrip. So there, we do have to look into that a little bit.
Thank you. Any questions from anyone else? Commissioner Colbeck.
Yes, Mr. Hillstrom, you mentioned the different steel. Does that by any way affect the integrity of the construction of the line?
No. The weathering steel and the galvanized steel are identical in their function.
Okay. So as far as the physical properties or structural nuances of it, there's no difference?
That's right. I'm not a mechanical engineer, but that is the information that I have got from our design engineers, that they are identical in function and longevity. They're the same.
All right. Thank you. If there's...
This is, I think perhaps Xcel is in a good position because this commission's done a number of different transmission line sightings in the last year. So I think a lot of our general questions probably have been answered through those processes. But I would ask in a general sense, is this project different in any particular way than those you might have worked on in the past? Are there any sensitive areas along the route or any particular aspects that Xcel's taking particular concern to look into?
Well, I guess it is different than projects we've worked on in the past in a good way. It's been a non-controversial project that we have not come across any of the issues that you've suggested would cause us concern. It's a pretty clear-cut, non-controversial. We don't really, other than the issues that I've highlighted, there are nothing else. There is nothing else.
Thanks.
Mr. Hillstrom, the present system you said would carry 825 megawatts outlet capacity, and there's some, you alluded to the fact that there's perhaps some constraints and challenges with adding the new line. We're somewhat curious why it would only go to 1,200 megawatts. Is the reason that it will only go from 825 to 1,200 adding the new line because of the constraints, or are there other factors?
Well, the short answer is I don't know. I've read the planning studies, and I feel like I've got a fundamental grasp of how they're done and what they mean. And I'll tell you what my understanding of that is, but I'll qualify that as saying I'm not a transmission planner, so
okay.
As far as the reasons, I don't know. But the 825 to 1200, as I understand it is a limitation imposed upon us by MISO, and right now their limitation is 825. Once we get these lines done, they're comfortable enough with their regional transmission planning programs that would allow us to increase that to 1,200. And I think the next increment beyond 1,200 would be, and here's where I'm getting way beyond my area of expertise, but I believe the next increment would be addressed by a CapEx line, which would hook into Brookings, and that's the CapEx 2020 line that would go from Brookings to the Twin Cities. And that would increase it beyond 1,200.
Would you, perhaps then, this is also something that you can't answer, but I'll ask anyway. I was trying to ascertain approximately how much excess capacity that exists on the line at the present time. Is the $825 fully appropriated?
I believe, well, I don't know for sure, but I believe it is, and that's a question that I'm not qualified to answer, and the way I understand it, the wind projects that are in construction right now and have been built pretty much use up that $825. But don't, I guess you're not quoting that.
we're going to quote you, so.
I'm going to qualify that by saying that that's not my bailiwick.
All right.
I'm guessing.
Perhaps you could get that answer for
sure.
Us.
Sure.
I appreciate your attempt at answering the question anyway. Thank you. Is there anyone else with any questions for the commission at this time? Or for Mr. Hillstrom, rather? If not, does that complete your presentation? Or
yes.
All right. Well, ladies and gentlemen, that will conclude the public hearing at White, South Dakota on EL08-001. We thank all of you for attending. Thank you, Pat.
You know, I think it was more than anything was the masterful chairmanship of this meeting that kept it running so smoothly.
Well, you know, there was a lot of juggling of those questions and figuring out who to call on.
Did you notice how deftly